Coming up on Money Bites by Smart Money People.
So, I mean, imagine trying to scour thousands of mortgages yourself. I've not got time for that.
It's like going out and having a six-course meal at a fancy restaurant when all you really need is a sandwich from Tesco's.
Is there anywhere a bank such as Leeds Building Society would be happy for me to pay off my mortgage using crackers rather than a pound sterling?
Probably not.
And only had him for 4 hours. He was so traumatized that he's now petrified of bald men.
We have Andrew Montlake, the managing director of Corico. Final question, would you negotiate a mortgage for a giraffe if they asked nicely?
Of course, yeah. We don't discriminate against anyone.
Hello and welcome to Money Bites by Smart Money People. Coming up on today's show, we're tackling mortgages. Do we still need mortgage brokers?
So, what do we have to look forward to today? We'll have Andrew Montlake, CEO of Corico, in to discuss the changing face of the mortgage market. We'll spin the wheel for this week's Money Spinners, and we've put the telephone banking teams of Leeds Building Society and Halifax to the test in our weekly prank calls.
Welcome to Money Bites by Smart Money People.
Good morning, you're through to Leeds Building Society. How can I help you there?
Nice to speak to you. I don't actually currently have a mortgage with Leeds Building Society, but I was wondering if I have an inquiry, I have a question. Would it be okay to ask you?
Possibly, yeah. Depending on what it is, I might be able to help you with that.
Okay, wonderful. So you'll see, it's a bit of an odd one, but what it is I've recently come into some good fortune, and I've been able to acquire a large number of crackers. You see, not Christmas crackers, crackers that you might put cheese on, cheddar or Wensleydale. And the thing is that the value of the crackers, it far exceeds that of my mortgage or any mortgage. So okay. I was wondering, is there any way a bank such as Leeds Building Society would be happy for me to pay off my mortgage using crackers rather than a pound sterling?
Probably not.
There's no circle. You couldn't run that up the flagpole. And I mean, it's a lot of crackers. I actually know Jacob himself. He told me this is how he paid off his mortgage.
No, it would need to be with the currency of pound coins.
Well, that's fair enough. I understand. Thank you for your time.
That's all right. Thank you then.
Time to lace up those gloves. It's Mike versus Nate in this week's Fighting Talk.
This week, we sent producer Eddie out to the streets to ask members of the public if they would apply for a mortgage directly or use a broker. What did the good people of London have to say, Eddie?
So, yeah, in terms of whether I'd go to a mortgage broker or direct to my bank if I was getting a mortgage, I actually did this recently and had a search on Google first before going to my bank.
When I buy a house, I'll be looking to negotiate a mortgage between banks directly as opposed to brokers, because I'd imagine that the commission would leave me further out of pocket.
I ended up going to a company called Propertunity, which is good for sort of first-time buyers and looking into their sort of mortgage rates to give you like a boosted mortgage and then put you in touch with a mortgage broker.
I would ideally use some sort of comparison tool to decide between the best quotes on lenders.
Long story short, I would go straight to a mortgage broker rather than my bank. Not too sure why, it just seemed like the first thing that comes up when you search on Google and seemed like the place that I need to go.
So the rules. Each week, me and Nate will battle it out in a brainy bout and eventually crown a champion. This week, I'll be arguing that no, we don't need mortgage brokers. And Nate will be arguing that yes, we still need mortgage brokers. So Nate, go ahead. Take the first swing.
Mike, this battle will be a walk in the park. Of course we need mortgage brokers. Over 70% of mortgages are arranged by brokers because it's not like opening a current account. It's a lot more involved and it's a process that really benefits from expert experience. You know, everyone's circumstances are different and not all lenders are going to be right for you. I mean, there's no such thing as one mortgage for everyone. Not only that, but you're typically borrowing for 30 years or more. The rules of compounding mean a bad decision now can prove very costly. Using a broker could be one of the best financial decisions you'll ever make.
That may be true. Us Brits use mortgage brokers a lot more than other countries. Maybe we're just a bit too lazy, Nate. In Ireland, about 25% of all people looking for mortgages do so with the broker. And there's actually some really good deals to be had by going direct.
Okay, Mike, there's lots of broker-exclusive deals that you wouldn't have access to. So Atom Bank is a good example. So they're a challenger bank. They launched just over 3 years ago in Durham. And their range of mortgages, they're offered exclusively through brokers. And there's a strong commercial case for this too. So by not paying for their own advisors, they're able to offer cheaper rates and better deals. Most brokers too, they're also whole of market. They don't just choose mortgages from a panel of lenders, they look at products from all lenders. Brokers who refer to themselves as independent should be whole of market. So, I mean, imagine trying to scour thousands of mortgages yourself. I've not got time for that.
Brokers sound like a really nice idea, but using one could really add up quite quickly. Some of them charge 1% of the total price of your property just for their advice. It's like going out and having a six-course meal at a fancy restaurant when all you really need is a sandwich from Tesco's.
There's many that don't charge a fee these days, so companies like Habito and Mojo, they're fee-free.
It's certainly true that one or two of them don't charge any direct fees. They just make their money from commission from the mortgage company. But our research shows that some of the best mortgage lenders, whether you're looking for good rates or good service, are actually some of the biggest high street banks, the kind of guys that we already use, the likes of Halifax or NatWest. So just going to your bank, knocking on their door and asking them for a mortgage may not be such a bad idea.
High street banks, they tend to only want easy cases, so like first time buyers with good credit ratings and a stable income. However, there's many people that sit outside the lending criteria of most banks. So people who are self-employed or in the gig economy, perhaps they don't have a stable income every month or they rely on an annual bonus, for example. I mean, maybe they're on a long-term visa, not quite a citizen, but permanent resident for all intents and purposes. Maybe they made a mistake years ago that's left a black mark on their credit file. You know, only a handful of lenders may be flexible enough in their criteria to lend to people in these circumstances. Now, brokers, they can use a variety of technology to scour the criteria of hundreds of lenders, you know, apply their experience and also reach out to the decision makers in firms who they've, you know, developed a relationship with over many years. We often see reviews from people on Smart Money People who've tried doing this themselves, who have lost their dream home because of a last minute rejection. And this is something which a broker could have avoided the risk of.
I guess that's true. But things can go wrong even when you do use a mortgage broker. Some mortgage lenders have very variable service levels, which basically means that one week they're amazing and really fast with your case, but they can be an absolute nightmare to deal with the week after. Moreover, the more specialist the mortgage application is, the more likely it is that a successful outcome is really dependent on human intervention. So what one individual mortgage underwriter thinks could be very different to the guy sitting next to them.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, and maybe in the future more of us will go direct, but at the moment most of us choose to use mortgage brokers because they can save you time by managing the process for you. They also save you stress by finding a suitable lender that is more likely to say yes, and save you money by getting you the best deal.
All right, good fight, guys, but I'm going to have to call it a knockout there and award the victory to Nate. As Mike, I'm sorry to say, but you're down for the count. You put up a good fight, Mike, and you made a good point that in many cases, going direct can actually save us money, especially pointing out that 1% fee. But Nate, ultimately, you turn that around. And you're right, only in certain cases, with exceptional circumstances, going direct going to save you money. There's many people who are still going to need a broker and the expertise they bring. And that point is what swung me. Ever since then, you had me convinced. Mike, unfortunately, you seem to be fighting a losing battle. So the judge's decision is in, and for a second week in a row, our winner is Nate.
Morning, thanks for calling Mortgage Review Team. My name is How can I help you today?
Hello, I'm interested in applying for a mortgage and I have some questions.
Sure, what's your name, please?
Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer, I'm Chris. And what questions do you have about the mortgage application?
If I took out a mortgage with you, would you send me one of those nice hampers?
Hampers? Yeah, we could check and see if it's one of our incentives for you.
Cracking. Would it have at least 20 kilograms of cheese in it?
No idea. Let's have a look online and see. And have you seen the hampers yourself online? Where did you hear about them?
I've seen them on the Twitter.
On Twitter, yeah.
Do you know what kind of cheese they'd have in them?
No idea. Never seen them. I'll have a look for you.
I'm happy to hold for a few hours.
Yeah. Don't think it'll take us a few hours, but yeah, we'll have a look for you. Is that all right?
Yes.
Great. Thanks for holding. So I've had a chat with my manager to see if there's any hamper incentive on at the moment. There's currently not at the moment.
Oh, not even a little box with a bit of cheddar?
Nothing. Not even a little box with a bit of cheddar.
That's disappointing. Because I'm a hungry mouse who dreams of a mansion full of cheese, like the one Kim and Kanye have in Cheddarwood.
I've never heard of that one myself. Is it nice?
It's dreamy.
Yeah.
Okay, well look.
Sorry to say that.
Never mind. I bid you a good day full of cheese.
Take care. Thanks for your call.
Time to fire up the hot seat as Mike welcomes another guest in to grill the big cheese.
This week we spoke to Andrew Montlake, Managing Director of Corico. We loved having Andrew in our office, and make sure to stay tuned until the end of the interview to hear a round of the world's greatest fintech confectionery competition, Skittlemania. For this week's Grill the Big Cheese, we have Andrew Montlake, the Managing Director of Corico. Corico employ around 50 people and broker around £1 billion of mortgages each year. The Money Bites grill is heating up, so let's get grilling. Andrew, firstly, who are Corico?
So Corico are, we're mortgage brokers, basically. So we started 10 years ago, so it's our 10th anniversary this year. And basically, we were set up to try and do something a little bit different in the mortgage industry. We wanted to really promote financial education, be really down to earth with our clients, and hopefully help them through the mortgage process as smoothly and as quickly as possible, and sort of prove that mortgage broking doesn't have to be dull and boring and can be a little fun as well.
So that's really what makes you different from the thousands of other mortgage brokers
out there. It's really hard to find this remarkable difference, but really it's in our personality and the way that we portray ourselves and the way that we educate our clients.
Perfect. And are most of your clients first-time buyers, or is it a real range of customers that come to you?
It's a real mix, actually. At the moment, we do have quite a few first-time buyers, but there's a lot of clients who've been with us for a long time, so second time, third time buyers. We do buy to let as well, and we also have quite a strong commercial division, so they do the weird and wonderful things like residential development and hotels, etc.
And about 75% of all mortgages in the UK are sold through brokers. It's a lot higher than other territories like Ireland, for example. Do you think we really need mortgage brokers these days?
Well, ask a mortgage broker that question. What do you think they're going to say? I think it's more important than ever. You've got technology coming in and trying to, in my opinion, dumb down the advice process, which I think is a dangerous thing. And actually, the Mortgage Market Review, which came in, actually showed how important advice is. And in these days, when you've got a myriad of different choices to take out the biggest loan you're ever going to take out, it seems crazy to do that without any kind of advice.
So there's been a lot of talk about online brokers, an API-driven future, and the tech side of things. What do you think is going to come along that's going to really shake up the way mortgages are sold in the UK?
I think it's about how you use technology. So I'd like to see more people concentrate on using technology to improve the customer journey. I think that is key. The process is quite anachronistic. It is quite slow. And actually, there's a lot of things that technology can help improve within that journey. What I don't want to see is technology, as I said before, being used to actually dumb down advice as an excuse to do away with advice, because I think that advice is critical in the process. So hopefully tech will be used for all those kinds of things. For example, things like proof of identity, proof of address. It's crazy that we have to do it, solicitor has to do it, the estate agent has to do it. If you utilise some kind of blockchain technology, you should only need to do that once.
What lenders do you think are really kind of nailing the way that technology is used to help consumers get mortgages?
None at the moment. I think there are some that are getting there. I think Atom Bank Digital Mortgages was quite interesting. The whole concept of a bank on an iPhone, that was good. That caused some disruption. I think some lenders are getting there slowly, but there's a lot of work to do. We still really haven't touched the edges of open banking, for example.
Yeah.
Lenders are very slow at getting their APIs out to brokers. So I think there's a lot of work to be done still from lenders where technology is concerned.
And from an open banking perspective, what do you think the biggest wins are out there for customers?
I think it's all instant decision making. I think it's something that will really help them budget accordingly. There are some things which you use on your iPhone at the moment, like Yolt, for example, where actually you can scrape all your bank account information into one place, and it really helps you budget accordingly and know exactly where you're spending. So I think things like that are really helpful. And if banks can open up that even further, then I think it will really help speed up mortgage decision making.
Yeah. And also, I guess, do a bit more around that affordability and understanding whether a consumer actually can afford the mortgage or not.
Yeah, there's one school of thought that says potentially it can give them too much information. Yeah. And actually, if you look at, say, some lenders, for example, don't want to see bank statements at the moment. And actually, once you're giving them all that information around open banking, actually, is that too much? Do they start having information that they don't want to see, which means they have to take that into account when they look at affordability? So there are still a few unanswered questions there.
Obviously, we're in an environment where house prices are still going up, and they've gone up a lot in London, which is where your firm is based. What advice would you give to a first-time buyer that's trying to get onto the property ladder here in London?
Well, first of all, obviously take advice. Most of the people we see at the moment are first-time buyers. They do have help from the bank of mum and dad or even the bank of grand and granddad. So definitely raid your parents, first of all, if there's any opportunity to do so. But it's all about looking around. It's not about panicking. It's not about taking the first thing on offer that you think you can afford just to get onto the property ladder. I think that's where people go wrong. If you're looking at the Help to Buy scheme, which can be a good scheme, make sure you understand it, make sure you get proper advice around it, because I think people who are hurrying onto the property ladder without proper advice could be purchasing the wrong type of property in the wrong location. So it's important not to panic and make sure they get advice and look around properly.
And where do consumers go? Where should we go if we're trying to find, get an understanding of whether we're actually buying a property in the right place and the right kind of property?
It's a really difficult one. We usually say to people, buy in the areas that you know, but in a lot of cases that's just not affordable now. So good estate agents, and there are quite a few around. It might be a bit of trial and error, but there are some good estate agents around, or there are some property finders, buying agents, who will give you some really good advice around where to buy or what type of thing to buy. So again, it's just doing your research, really.
Always comes down to a bit of research and a bit of local knowledge, I guess.
Absolutely.
What's your view on lifetime ISAs? So there's been a lot in the press around lifetime ISAs, and we're seeing more firms starting to open up and offer lifetime ISAs, but still a product that's a bit untested. What would you say to a first-time buyer thinking of opening a lifetime ISA to help them?
I think it's a tricky one. I think any scheme where the government is giving you free money is worth taking advantage of. So as long as you're using those proceeds to purchase a property, then it makes sense to A, save in a tax-free manner, and B, take any free money bonus that's going. So from that point of view, it seems to be a sensible savings account to look at.
I don't think many listeners will disagree that free money sounds rather good.
whatever free means.
Well, look, from free money to Brexit, what do you think no deal will mean for the housing market?
Right, Brexit, where do I start?
You've got to be prepped for Brexit, surely.
It's a really, really, really tricky one. We are in uncharted territory, and unfortunately, to sit on the face, it can go one or two ways. We just don't know what's going to happen. My own view is a little bit more positive where the housing market is concerned. I think if we do a no-deal Brexit, I think the government will be really keen on putting all manner of things back into the economy, whether that's cutting stamp duty, whether it's incentives here, there and everywhere. And also a lot of people think, do you know what? A lot of people just want a decision to be made. The thing that's stifling the market at the moment is indecision. Once people know whether we're in or whether we're out, whether it's a deal or no deal, that decisiveness will lift a lot of the anxiety that people are feeling at the moment, and I think people will start to make more decisions. So actually, even on a no-deal Brexit, I think actually that this will release people to actually get on with their lives and make decisions. So actually, I think the housing market will be okay.
And a lot of mortgage lenders are trying to encourage people to jump out of that indecision and get a mortgage, right? We've seen the likes of HSBC seemingly kind of throwing the kitchen sink at it when it comes to what they're willing to do to bring in new business, both from a process improvement perspective and actually upping their game, but also the rates that they're putting out into the market. What are your predictions for the mortgage industry as a whole in terms of more lenders coming in or lenders exiting? What do you think is going to really change over the next couple of years?
I think a lot depends on Brexit. I mean, the longer that this really low interest rate environment goes on, the harder it is for certain lenders and challenger banks to actually continue in the market. We've seen the likes of Tesco pulling out of the market. I think there might be a couple of others that they just can't compete. They can't change their criteria enough away from vanilla criteria,
yeah.
Which means they can only compete on price. And you've just got the big boys who seem to be awash with cash at the moment after the ring fencing stuff that they're just cutting rates left, right and centre. So 5-year fixed rates, you can now get a 1.58%, which is just crazy. So how are you going to compete with that? I think if things do sort themselves out, then it is still an arena that people want to get into. So we could see more specialist lenders coming back into the market. We could see an improvement in buy-to-let conditions even if the new chancellor starts to work back some of the changes that we've seen there. So it's going to be an interesting market. It's going to be hard for many to compete as it stands at the moment.
So smaller mortgage lenders, smaller, more specialist mortgage lenders, cushioned a little bit more because they are able to tailor their products, their criteria a little bit more than say the bigger guys that really just want the volume.
Yeah, I think the specialist lenders who can work their way up the risk curve to a certain degree will be okay. The big boys will be okay. So it's sort of like those middle ground of banks who are struggling to compete either on price or criteria. That's where the issue lies.
So, Andrew, look, if you were housing minister tomorrow, you know, Boris taps you on the shoulder and says, we need you and your help, what would be top of your agenda?
To resign. I'm not sure I could work with Boris. I think housing is really deep. I think the issues with housing go back years. I'd like to see a housing minister that is actually part of the top table. That needs to be recognised first and foremost. And I probably want to start a cross-party housing department that looks for the long term.
Yep.
So what can we put in place with colleagues from other parties that actually mean that we have some consistency and some longevity, because everything is short term, and that doesn't really solve anything. So it needs to be a long term agenda, and it needs to know that actually whenever a new housing minister comes in, which is sort of every other day at the moment, at least there's a plan there that they can just pick up and continue working with, because I don't think we're going to solve anything looking at short term all the time.
And that's the challenge when it becomes political, I guess. Well, look, Andrew, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for joining us on Grill the Big Cheese. And we will now head into Skittlemania.
And now, get your chopsticks ready. It's Skittlemania!
Now, next up, it's Skittlemania. We've put 30 Skittles in a cup, and we've given our guest a pair of chopsticks. And over the next 90 seconds, we'll attempt to get as many Skittles into Cup B as possible. Are you ready? Let's go. Oh, first one's in. Andrew, what's your favourite coloured Skittle?
I like these purple ones, actually. They seem to be easier to get on the chopstick.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
How many times in your life do you think you've ever sneezed?
About 200,000.
That's a lot of sneezes.
I got hay fever.
Fair enough. Do you have a favourite Andrew from history?
Oh, my Lord. That's a great question. No, I don't think I do. I don't know many Andrews.
Well, we're coming up to a minute. We're coming up to a minute. You seem to be doing pretty good. If you had a pet giraffe, what would you call it?
If I had a pet giraffe, what would I call it? Gerard.
Gerard the giraffe. What a name. How old were you when you found out the truth about Santa Claus?
What about Santa Claus? probably about 9.
Oh, 10 seconds left, Andrew. 10 seconds left. Oh! Final question. Would you negotiate a mortgage for a giraffe if they asked nicely?
Of course, yeah. We don't discriminate against anyone.
And that's your time up. So let's do the count. We have 6 Skittles for Andrew. 6 Skittles, 4 of which are purple.
I'm happy with that.
So the truth is that purple Skittles are easier to grab. Well, look, Andrew, thank you again for your time here on Grill the Big Cheese. And we look forward to welcoming you back in the future.
Thanks for having me.
Next up, we spin the Money Bites wheel for another round of Money Spinners. It's the segment where we spin a wheel and deliver you whatever audio option it lands on, be that a karaoke cover, a sponsored silence, or one of our classic reviews. Let's see what we have in store this week. Well, this week we have another reading of one of our favourite reviews. Take it away, Duncan.
My partner and I had a mortgage with the Halifax until one day, 12 weeks ago, our 13-year-old daughter came home from school and couldn't get into the house. The locks had been changed, and our dog had been taken. We had no idea this was happening to us. Upon calling Halifax, we were advised we had been underpaying on our monthly payments due to a rate change which they failed to advise us of. Cutting a long, stressful 12-week story short, we had to redeem the full outstanding mortgage of approximately £190,000 to get our home back. We offered £50,000, which they refused. It had to be the full loan amount. We have been fortunate enough to be able to clear the full amount and get our property back. They are far from helpful, have caused us so much stress and upset, even down to the very last day when we cleared the mortgage in full, they expected us to wait another 72 hours before checking for receipt of the funds that had been paid by Chaps. After a very tense phone call, they finally confirmed receipt. We have just received an invoice breakdown of costs that were added to our outstanding balance. We've been charged £260 for the pleasure of a dog handler that took our 8-month-old puppy from our home and only had him for 4 hours. He was so traumatized that he's now petrified of bald men. I can only say avoid at all costs. The weight has been lifted off of our shoulders, knowing we do not have to have any more contact with such a farce of a company.
And that's all we have time for on this week's Money Bites. Thank you to Andrew Montlake for coming to chat with us, and to you for listening. Be sure to tune in next week when we ask, can robots manage your money better? But before then, please review, subscribe, and why not visit us at Smart Money People. Goodbye.